Yeah, I would love that idea. Okay, it's 5 o'clock. We're going to start our work session. Now, remember what the clerk is saying last time you had a hard time recording. So we're all going to try to have our mics directional, speak into them so you can be heard.
Is it just one, Mark?
Yeah. For now.
I have the other 300 or something.
Briefly, before we get into the nonprofit discussion and the that sort of thing, in front of you is a capital facilities plan. This is something, per our financial management policies, we're supposed to bring you, as well as an operating budget, a capital facilities budget, two different budgets. Now, the sheet I handed out is just a straw horse. This is capital improvement projects. Not roads, not water, not sewer, not storm. Because, you know, we have the roads transportation improvement program is a whole separate deal, which we have to do once a year, kind of August-ish. And then the ongoing water, sewer, storm, of course, is covered in our comp plans, comprehensive plans. But part of the whole Growth Management Act is to have, as well as facilities like buildings and land and stuff, separate from a parks plan, but you'll notice in 2013 we have no expenditures planned because we don't have any money. But some of the items listed are new library. Now that would be covered if we do a new library. It'd be covered with general obligation bonds that you would approve, and payments would start in 2014. Another item on the list is the remodel of the Pizza Annex next to City Hall, Pioneer Pavilion, renovation to a community center after the library leaves, City Hall parking lot, that was my favorite, and then a pedestrian bicycle bridge connecting the two parks, our city park and the county park. These are just some ideas and some rough order of magnitude expenditures. We'll be asking you to adopt this, although there's no expenditures planned. 2013, kind of a check-the-box thing.
You're going to build that bridge for $200,000?
That's just a rough guess. I mean, it's really a skinny bridge.
Okay.
And with volunteers.
It's a rope bridge.
And okay. First one over is the mayor, I think.
Just a big
swing. A very heavy bicycle.
It's a big swing.
Simple line.
If we were to build that bridge, would we not have to get the county to buy into it, seeing as how we're going to a county facility?
See who? I suppose. They'd probably, I don't know if they'd welcome it. I would think they'd welcome it.
I would say
Trails connection.
It's probably not going to go where you think it's going to go. It's probably still a logical place is Vanderyot across, and Vanderyot will be connecting to trails that we will control.
Yeah, that was a much better place for it.
The outer portion of that facility will be going into the city.
Pioneer to... to Hovander is just not a practical location anyway.
So that's what I was looking for, some feedback on these four or five items. Thank you.
I have one that you should consider adding somewhere in the next 5 years, and that is the reconfiguration of the Senior Citizen Center and Pioneer Pavilion parking lot. I know the mayor has brought that up. It's not a very efficient parking lot.
Sure, the Pioneer Pavilion. Part of that convert community center would include perhaps a parking lot reconfiguration.
When will we make a decision about the library bonds?
That's a good question.
Because we're going to do a budget here shortly. I mean, actually vote on a budget. So when will we decide if we're going to do the library next year?
The reason I'm not too worried about it as your finance director is I wouldn't plan on any payments until 2014 on that debt, on the general obligation debt.
Yeah, the key right now is, I think, more than our issuing of our bonds that we've already authorized is the closing of that funding gap. You know, until we close the $2 million or whatever it is, then obviously we wouldn't be issuing our bonds. So I think we're just going to have to, right now we do have that $500,000 curb grant. Mm-hmm. So I think there's some other irons in the fire, so to speak, too.
But the curb grant, we'll know in, like, the first week of December?
Yeah.
And so what if we get the curb grant?
We'll amend the budget.
Okay.
Depending on, of course, other financing needs to fall.
It's always simpler to go backwards when you get money.
Okay.
Is that what they were talking about in the email today? That the library is pursuing a grant?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, we've been working on the CURB, which is the Community Economic Revitalization Board. We've made it past the first round. We're now in the second and final round of the CURB. competition, if you will. And that the finalists should be announced in December.
Other than that, I just wanted to touch on that briefly, the CIP, and then Sam's going to lead their discussion on the nonprofit.
John?
Yeah, thank you. Just rough numbers. I think we pledged to the library $1.25 million. Does that sound about right when all is said and done?
Yeah,
right. And we have contributed a lot in some initial paperwork, we can call it. So if we suddenly said, okay, kind of pony up, what would that a little bit less than $1 million?
We have $1,050,000.
That we still need to come up with.
Right.
That was the last number I saw.
Yeah, because we issued $200,000, and we had an obligation of $1,250,000. So now it's just $1,050,000.
Okay, thank you.
And one way to finance that, as I reviewed last session, one way would be to take a little bit of money from REIT 1. There's a little bit of money available 2014 and on REIT 1. The other 50, 60 grand a year could come from a 1 percentage point increase in
solid
water, sewer, storm, utility tax. 1 percentage point. We're at 6.5 now. If you went to 7.5, we can grab that 50 or 60 grand. That'd be one way to do it. A pretty broad disbursement of burden, water, sewer, storm customers, and that'd be one way to finance that debt service.
Okay, you're done? Leave it over to Sam, please. Okay, your show, Sam.
Good evening, Council. Basically, I think I'm probably leading this a little bit just because by dint of volunteering, this kind of fell to me. It does fall in line. I already do the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee and Hotel Motel grant funding, so I guess the clerk's office does kind of already manage some grant programs for the city. Just for some background, since we have folks here, and I should mention that the sheet that the council has looked at in terms of the ratings from the application, as well as comments from the finance director, are over there by extra agendas if folks are interested in that. Those were also posted on the website. But for some background, we had some council members request that we have a kind of a better, I suppose, application process so that the council could wrap their heads around what's being requested each year and that it's not just rollover funding. There also was concern that we were simply handing over funding to organizations and that might not be legal. The state constitution does say that we are not allowed to gift public funds except for the case in the poor or the infirm. And just to clarify, I don't believe that we've necessarily just simply been handing people money. What they've been doing is they have been providing a service on behalf of the city. Probably what we were missing, though, and I think is important to acknowledge over the last several years, is we haven't necessarily contracted for that. And it probably is important that we put in place just a very basic agreement simply to say, here's the money that the city is appropriating to you. Here's what it's for. So that we do have a better relationship spelled out in terms of that. And I think that no matter what we do here, these applications lend themselves well to that, to formulating those interlocal agreements, because I can basically take information directly from these while I develop interlocals. So from there, basically, we received applications from 5 different organizations this year. Last year, we received them from 6. This year, we did not receive an application from the Center for Economic Vitality. We didn't have applications last year, but we funded 6 organizations. Last year, the budget called for $20,050 appropriated. This year, the requests are for about $11,000 more, $31,150, largely because domestic violence, sexual assault, they did request additional funding for Helpline, which we have not funded in the past. We generally have given them a lower amount for their services directly. But they've also asked for Helpline, which is their toll-free line, basically, or their lines that helps domestic violence victims that does serve Ferndale. And so they've included in their application funding for that. I believe also that Teen Court, or Northwest Youth Services, which we fund a portion of Teen Court, a very small portion, also asked that we give them a bit additional funding for their summer jobs program, with the goal being that the additional job or the additional work for a teen this summer would go to a Ferndale teen at a Ferndale business. So that's basically it. The Community Service Cooperative requested $800 more than they were provided last year. The food bank has asked for about $400 more than last year. I think that's based generally just strictly on what their utility bill is for the, annually. It appears we're going to, according to the application, what we're giving them is basically 40% of their annual utility bill. Domestic violence, we in the past have provided them $2,700 for their services for all the things they do throughout Whatcom County related to that, as well as helpline. That increased the requests from last year by 5,000. The helpline is an additional 5,000 above and beyond the 2,700. Teen court, last year we provided $2,250, and the increase is $3,750, again for the summer jobs program. Last year we provided $4,500 to the senior center, and this year they're requesting $7,900, and that is to help provide janitorial services at the senior center. Obviously, by us providing funding for the janitorial services, they could use their other funding for whatever other services. I still think it meets the intent of the program. And then nothing from Center for Economic Vitality. Just briefly on the rating scale was basically co-opted, I'll flatly admit that, from the city of Bellingham, which I felt had a very good rating system for social services programs. We have heard now that Marylandville wants to take all of their social service funding and just give it to United Way. So they're kind of getting rid of their rating system. But that's basically what I did was I took their rating system because this was the first year of the program. I thought, let's try this and see how it goes. We're all kind of feeling this out a little bit. Just to speak quickly to why some of the ratings are lower.
Can you explain what the columns are?
Yes, tell us what the columns are.
Yes, and you'll see that in the applications that were there. There's a page on the evaluation criteria. There's shorthand here in my columns for what the column says. So there's 15 points for program outputs are well-defined, measurable, and attainable. 15 points for the program will make a significant difference in addressing priority needs. 10 points for program description indicates the program has the potential to achieve the identified outputs. 10 points for the program cost being reasonable for the proposed outcomes and outputs. 10 points for the agency having demonstrated initiative in leveraging funds from other sources. 10 points for the agency having financial stability to maintain the program and achieve their outcomes outputs. 10 points for the agency having staff and volunteer resources to maintain the program and achieve outcomes outputs. 10 points for agency collaborates with other community organizations to enhance their program's effectiveness and efficiency. And then 10 points were discretionary. And on the folks that had 8 in discretionary, it's basically because I wasn't going to give 10 to anybody on a rating like this. But I will say that 8 was basically my top, and I thought those applications in terms of discretion were good. The reason why I dinged discretionary on the other ones, discretionary on the community service I'll talk about in a second, but for the food bank, it was because they were missing some documents that were kind of important to the financial assessment, including their 990 forms. They also did not include in their application required information relating to their board having approved the application going forward to us. And that was kind of our check on the system to say that we wanted to make sure that no one person was applying without approval from the rest of the organization. And so that wasn't provided so that they were dinged a little bit on discretionary for that, because that's the only place I really can ding for lack of application materials. Does that answer your question, Councilmember? Okay. So going to the ratings, pretty much most of these ratings, and it's kind of ironic, you'll hear from the treasurer his assessment. Much of this assessment is kind of, for organizations that constantly always need funding because it's very difficult in the charity business to find funding, most of these organizations seemed pretty healthy, and that's why a lot of them received, perfect points for the outputs, difference, description, costs. Where I think there was some concern in this mathematical calculation for the community service cooperative was, last year they requested $7,000, and according to the transcription of the meeting, had said they promised not to come back this year, but were. So there's a little bit of concern, I think, from a financial standpoint, that they have enough sufficient funding without your funding to go forward. There also obviously is concern that their funding is directly tied to staffing. And so, according to this rating system, human capital is kind of a concern. So that's where they had some lower points than the other organizations. I think it's, as you all know, the food bank is very, very well volunteered. They have a very strong director who has done a lot to go out and make the ask, as she will aggressively say it, and you've all met her. She's very vibrant, energetic, and so I, you know, from a human capital standpoint, that's why they were given the 10. Is that an understatement? I don't know.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so that's basically it. You know, a lot of these were just, they were very solid applications just from the application standpoint. There wasn't much that I could do. You know, all this was a mathematical exercise. You know, I wasn't trying to make or do this in a political way, just looking at the rating system, here are the points. And the rest of it is really, from my standpoint, up to council. And that's a political decision, and it's completely different from this rating. If you have any questions for me, I'm happy to ask. Otherwise, I'd turn it over to Mark for his assessment.
Before we get started, because I got the email this afternoon that I'm able to share this information publicly that we didn't have last week, and this is from Western Washington University. So the Center for Economic Vitality that we funded in the past is no longer. Western's going to close that department down. We still have the Small Business Development Center, SBDC, led by Jennifer Shelton, that will still support small business development and counseling within Ferndale under kind of a less of an intensive effort that Center for Economic Vitality did. But SBDC is operating under a different grant from a federal grant and won't be asking Ferndale for any money. So we would have gotten the information, but it was a very hush-hush secret decision as of today that said it's okay to be public. There is no Center for Vitality. So we won't be seeing any requests for economic development from those angles. So.
As City Clerk mentioned, the area of financial stability, one would think the more cash these organizations have, you know, the better. The more multiples of annual expenditures in terms of cash balance, you know, good for them. They'll be around. I took the opposite view of cash balance. I guess in my notes I kind of penalized those organizations that I thought had adequate cash balance. For example, the Commission Against Domestic Violence, $1.4 million in investments in cash, and other issues you could see in your packet and on the website, a half-page synopsis. It even made the Sunday paper. So that's my input. It's just input. And again, the food bank, I couldn't tell what the cash balance was. There were no tax returns in their application.
Council, I mean, we have members of those organizations, so they could be given a chance to have a three-minute situation. Obviously, our clerk has established that what we're doing here is legal. Auditors have made it okay, so regardless of what the Constitution says, we are following the Constitution. So this can be an open discussion by you, or we could allow the audience to speak on their behalf, too. Councilperson Goodrich?
My question is for Mr. Taylor. You mentioned about Bellingham going to the Flat United Way. Is there an advantage to doing that, or is it just to avoid the political aspect of it?
I can't really speak for the city of Bellingham. It does appear that they, I mean, to put it bluntly, it appears they're washing their hands of that responsibility, and that's up to them. That's part of their budget. I don't know if their council will agree to that, but that's, Mayor Linville's proposition is United Way. I don't necessarily know that United Way funds all of the social service programs that Bellingham currently is. So, you know, they might have some winners or losers. For us, I mean, same thing. I don't know that providing funding to United Way would necessarily fund our local organizations, you know, adequately or at all. We're a small city. And so, you know, our social service programs, while I think connected to other organizations, you know, they're here for us and aren't necessarily receiving funds from other organizations. So,
Councilperson Watson?
My question is, Mr. Peterson, how much extra cash do we actually have for discretionary spending? I'm wondering how much money we have that we could spend.
The current projection, 2013 operating budget, the current draft projection on general fund is we have a negative $49,900. So we're underwater almost $50,000 at this point. Now, we'll refine that in the next few weeks as we get another month's worth of revenue and as we make progress, hopefully, on our union negotiations. But right now, we're underwater about $50,000. And none of this, there's no cost in here that we're discussing right now. There's nothing in there for that.
Okay.
Underwater $50,000.
I would argue on that. I mean, if you're going that angle, is that we have faced more dire budgets than this, mm-hmm. and at times we have lowered the funding sources for these groups, but every year we have actually funded these groups. Mm-hmm. We may have adjusted the amounts, but zero has not been an option under this administration. Councilperson Olson?
Do we have somebody from the food bank?
We have, I believe we have food bank, we have senior center, and our community service cooperative.
Mm-hmm. Why was your application incomplete?
Do you want to do microphone and then could you speak a
little bit? Hi, my name is Suzanne Nivan. I'm the director of the food bank. Clearly, because I'm thick as a stump, when I saw the requirement for the 990, I sent in our letter that said that we were a nonprofit. It didn't even connect. So that was my own stupidity.
Okay.
But if you have a question about our financials, I can certainly address them.
Okay. Well, how about the stuff that's missing? Can you address that?
What is your cash on hand?
Oh, so cash on hand. Mm-hmm. We have probably $122,000 in the bank. Some of that is restricted funds. I would say probably 15. Probably of the $120,000, we probably have about close to $60,000 that is restricted grant money. Some of it was our Walmart grant that we received that is funding a farm-to-food bank program. Also, we have some restricted building maintenance and upgrade funds that were granted to us that we can't spend on anything other than doing that. We had some leftover money from the grants that we received for our van. We received grants from Boeing and Glazier Foundation and WIKU and some places, and we hold those funds restricted to maintenance on the van, to pay for gasoline, insurance, that kind of thing.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Councilperson Watson?
Question for you, sir. Do we have some sort of agreement with the food bank that will pay their utilities? Is this what we've been doing in the past?
Sam's correct in the fact that we probably should formalize the process. But we've never really basically had that. I don't really know, and I don't think, you know, I talked to Mel about this. Mm-hmm. We don't know in terms of when the city started some of these agreements, okay. and started funding some of these organizations. And it wasn't really written down and said we're going to specifically. It's never been where we're going to specifically give you an exact amount. Every year it's been what can we do and where okay. can we go. So, no, there isn't. That was just one of their ways to use, if we gave them a check, they'd figure out where to slot it in.
Okay.
Councilperson Hansen?
Essentially, the history of that was that when their new building opened over there at the WPA station, they came to us and asked if we would pick up part or all of the utility bills. I think it started with city utilities first. And they expanded that request to include electricity and telephone. And to my knowledge, there has never been we will pay 100% of this amount or 40% or whatever figure. It was a figure. And it's supposed to go, the figure has to be less than what the utility bill is, because that's the only agreement was that it would go all to utilities.
Councilperson Mitchell?
So you're saying that the amount of money that each year we've been giving the food bank, it was for utilities. Is that a different? It's okay. So we've been utilities, not utilities and X dollars.
No. Okay. Well, I can only speak for the way it started. It was strictly utilities. And my point being that I don't recall any discussion of changing that. I don't know Mark can tell us. How's that paid? Do they submit their utility bills and then we
They
pay
submit
them?
Their financials as I request, and then once I see utilities on there and their grand utility is more than they allocated, then I write the check.
Do we provide? Do we provide utilities? Don't we cover CRC here? Utilities.
I think the answer is yes.
And then
just the water, sewer, storm.
How about water, sewer, and storm?
I believe the answer is yes.
Separate electrical. How about senior center? That's their building, their thing.
I got the question out to our utility billing person who's out sick today. So I will get you that answer.
I believe it's 1 meter for Pioneer Park on water.
That's what we verify.
It's always been, I mean, so in the same regard, it's 1 meter for Pioneer Park. So that, I mean, I think the only separate meter is the library now. So I think it's 1 meter for the rest of the facilities. Silicon House, Pioneer Park.
You're probably right. We'll verify.
Customer Snelson.
To expanding on what you were saying then, that means we're paying for their water then?
I believe so.
Okay. And sewer, I assume.
Councilperson Watson?
I guess I had a question from the Ferndale Service Cooperative about the ordinary supplies, because the finance director had a question about ordinary supplies and what that $18,000 was.
So would you like to have one of the representatives come up and you
I would love to have
them?
One of them come up.
Okay, so someone, whoever is your designated spokesman, could come and then identify yourself and speak into the microphone.
I'm Luana Chapman, and I'm not the designated spokesperson, but I am the treasurer for the Ferndale Service Cooperative. And I did do the Form 990. I'm not a CPA. I do have an extensive accounting background. And when I divided out the supplies out of our small budget for cash supplies, what I included under a designation of ordinary supplies would be the portion that would be ordinary expense in a visit in a business or nonprofit, which are expenses that are particular to your business. And those things are not office supplies or anything like that. Those are in supplies that are particular to our programs. Food for the community meal, hygiene supplies for the other bank, gifts for the holiday giving store, and so that's what's in ordinary supplies. And, you know, I have a breakdown of that for 2.5 years if anybody wants to see that.
So it wasn't $18,000 in little yellow stickies. It was $18,000 in no. supplies.
No. The little yellow stickies are under office expense. That's separate.
Just clarify.
Councilperson Hanson?
Well, ma'am, before you leave. In any budget, we look at expenditures, and the city does that too.
Oh,
we
yes.
may get a 100% grant for cookies, let's say. And somebody grants us $500 for cookies. Well, our budget will show a $500 expenditure for cookies, and until you look over on the revenue side of the budget and see that Cookies has a $500 grant to pay for them.
Mm-hmm.
You think, oh, my God, we're spending $500 for cookies. Well, no, we got a grant. Somebody thought we should have cookies. So my question would be, because I know that there are donations taken, for example, at the community meal. There are donated supplies for the holiday giving Or there may even be donated cash. Do you have an easy way of getting the net to income figure for that? General supplies that were
yes,
not reimbursed by
income? Yes, I do have a spreadsheet on that. What happens is that we have, I think now it's 7 programs operating under the 501c3 umbrella of the Ferndale Community Service Co-op. So all of those programs have accounting that is separate one from the other. When, and they have their own budget, they have their, basically their own sources of revenue. Most of them do their own fundraising with the help of our coordinator, Lori Polavoy, who, by the way, has 25 years' experience in the nonprofit industry. And all of that is separate, and they go out and do their fundraising. Each of those programs has either a coordinator or a steering committee who sets their budget and controls their budget and controls their fundraising. That's all kept separate. When I do the 501c3, all of that gets combined back under one umbrella. There are places on the 990 that list the programs, expenses, program by program. And then there's also another place that breaks it out by the type of expense, and that's where you've got the ordinary supplies, which were things like the food and so on and so forth. But, yes, we keep those things absolutely separate.
Councilperson Hansen, was that sufficient?
Well, what I was looking for was the figure, the net figure of expense over income. And my question was prefaced, was, is that an easy figure to come by?
Expense over income?
Well, the community meal takes in X number of dollars in donations.
So in donations and in kind. Their expenses in food, cash expenses, have run about $600 a month. Those are going up. They have once again hired a contract coordinator who works at least 25 hours per week, and that person under just a contractual agreement is paid $350. So they're up to about $1,000 a month. So instead of $6,000 to $7,000, they're going to have to raise $12,000. In the meantime, and Paul can tell you, he does a really good job as chef in keeping costs down. But food costs are going up, and the demand is going up. I mean, we are experiencing a real increase in the amount of people who need services. For all sorts of service agencies, the food bank is, the service co-op is, the senior center is. So, and according to the superintendent of schools for the state of Washington, the latest information for the Ferndale School District is 51.9% of children qualify for free and reduced price. So the other bank demands have gone way up. And normally, they cash out, they have lots of in-kind, but cash about $600 a month. But this year, they went to a 12-month instead of a 10-month year. Plus, they're getting more people. So that's going up. So, yeah, we keep a list of donors, and divide it out as far as I like to know how much our contributions are faith-based organizations, how much are other organizations, how much are corporations, how much are individuals. And we do that for each one.
Councilperson Hansen, do you need any additional information?
Oh, I don't need any more.
But you know what?
The answer still hasn't been answered. The question still hasn't been answered.
What's
the net cost over and above income? And that hasn't been answered.
The net cost is what the income is. Because there is a need for every dime that we can raise.
So can you get that to us and answer, or councilperson answer?
You have an outgo of $18,000 and change for general supplies.
Mm-hmm.
What we don't have is the income that comes in for general supplies.
How much are you getting in donations?
$264.
Are you looking at the main application?
I don't know. She might be able to explain that. I don't know if that's
what in your is. In the packet here on my page 264. The packet gives a. Thing for 2000.
It's the quarterly statement of cash.
Statement of cash, and it shows grants and donations and fundraising income of about $72,000 and expenses of, I don't know, it doesn't total up the expenses. Is that what you're looking for, Mel?
Well, the question was, what is this figure general supplies? And she adequately answered what that was.
And you want to know,
you know,
where
if
the income...
If out of the general supplies $4,000 was for the community meal, how much came in from the community meal? So what was the net cost?
How much $18,000?
That's what
I'm thinking. How much of the
$18,000 specifically on the community meal?
No.
How much of the $18,000 was donated? I mean, you're spending $18,000. Are you getting $12,000 in donations? $10,000?
Do you need to get back to us that information? Because they're not making decisions tonight.
I can give Mel the information that I have. I don't quite understand what he's saying.
I think what he might be saying is that if you have seven distinct activities down at the senior center, community meal or other things like that, do you do a profit and loss on each one?
Yes.
That's, I think, what he wants to see.
A separate set of books. That's what I'm saying.
He wants to see a
and
profit
and
loss
of
all your activities.
Okay. Bottom line figures, profit and loss on each one.
So basic P&L. Yeah.
And I...
Basic P&L on each one. And
I think I have that word.
Okay, do you want to search for it, and then you can jump back up?
Yeah, I can just hand it to you.
Well, you probably need to, you want to share with the rest of the council.
Yeah.
So you can take your time, and if you have it, just raise your hand, and we'll get you back up. Well, if she has it tonight, it'd be
nice to have
it tonight verbally, and that's the lean approach. Councilperson Watson?
I did have a question, though, because this money isn't actually for the individual programs. This is to pay for the director of the service cooperative. And I guess I'm curious, and I think I know the answer already, if maybe Ms. Morris or Ms. Pallavi would tell us, are there grants available to pay for salaries? Because I'm not sure the grants are available to pay for salaries. I know we don't want to be paying for salaries, but are there grants out there that will pay for a salary?
Identify yourself, and then...
Okay, I'm Lori Pallavoy with the Ferndale Community Service Cooperative. Most foundations and corporations do prefer to fund direct service. That's what's real jazzy to most organizations. So it is tougher to find funding for staffing, and it's really hard to provide direct service without staff. So it's one of those difficult situations. We've been fortunate this year in that we have raised enough money to carry us through next year in staffing as it is right now at the current 10 to 15 hours a week. But we are hoping to expand staffing so that we could give greater support to our the directors of our programs who are all doing their work on a volunteer basis. And so it's very, very difficult as they step up to meeting demand and recruiting more volunteers and managing those volunteers to also be doing the fundraising that they're currently doing. So the hope was that we could then provide greater support to them.
Councilperson Olson?
It says here a grant of $7,800 will be a cornerstone of our efforts to gain additional funding for this position from foundations, businesses, service organizations, and individuals. That's kind of exactly what they said last year, and they wouldn't come back this year, but you're back this year with the same promise for next year.
We're back because we were invited by three people in this room to participate in this process, and so we happily did.
Maybe I wasn't clear. Last year, you said you weren't going to come back mm-hmm. and ask for the same thing because that we were going to fund that so you could find that money for the position this year. That did not materialize, correct?
Well, yes, it did, actually, because we can continue through 2013 at the current staffing level. We're hoping to increase our staffing level to give greater support to our programs. So it did happen. And the reason we came back was because we were invited to come back and the process was new, and so it was, you know, sort of an understanding that it's a new process. We've been invited. We talked about it a little bit and thought, okay.
Okay, so this isn't for your current, this is to expand. Is what you're,
for 2013.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for this? Councilperson Watson?
How many extra hours a week do you think this will fund?
We're looking at funding an additional, hopefully we can go up to a total of 20 hours a week, so it'd be 5 to 10 more hours a week.
Okay. But still not full-time, just 20 hours a week?
Correct.
Any other questions for this guest? No? Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Lots of time, and it's very early in the agenda on the council agenda, so if we run over or we roll into, I'm sure some of these people would love to stay a little longer. Councilperson Watson?
I guess I'd like to hear from the senior center, because one of the concerns was that they have so much cash on hand that should we be giving them money? And I suppose I'd like to hear from the senior center.
Our frugal forefathers that taught us how to save. Would someone like to represent the senior center?
Would you like to teach a class?
I gave you a great lead-in.
And Ms. Chapman did their program too, so she could come.
Okay. You've done so well so far.
Okay. Just put your senior hand.
Now, hopefully, Mel can pass this again. This is the implement at
Profit
and Loss.
Service
cooperative. Yep. For the service cooperative.
Oh, is it, now this is the service?
This is the service cooperative.
Okay, so now we're back on the service cooperative?
Oh, I'm
okay.
She's going to do the service cooperative, then she switched to the...
Just for the record, so she's passing out a profit and loss for the service co-op. Okay, so careful.
Well,
those are L&I.
It's a dangerous menagerie. Watch out coming down. There's lots of wires.
Maybe we can get the money.
There you go. Break something.
Yeah.
Break a leg.
Okay, so you're going to talk about the P&L on the service cooperative now, and then we'll go into the senior question. Okay.
Mel, do you have any questions about the P&L?
No, this is exactly what I wanted to say.
Okay.
So she can roll into the senior citizen report, or do you have any questions on that?
Into the senior center?
No. This is fine. The question in front of us is not whether or not $18,000 was improperly spent. And what I'm seeing so far is that essentially the $18,000 was supported by donations and income. It was not, there wasn't new income needed to support that $18,000. The question in front of us is staffing. The question also that's in front of us in terms of the service cooperative is we had a promise a year ago. This is the only time we'll be in front of you. Get us started. We'll take care of it ourselves. And so the question for us to answer is, do we want to continue based on that, and at what level?
Councilperson Watson?
Oh, just in reply to that, I'm the liaison for the service cooperative. So when we came up with the new system, I told them to apply. I know they had applied last year, but they heard from me to apply, which is why they did. So if you want to blame someone, you can blame me, because I told them to.
No, I don't blame them for applying.
Okay.
I'm not blaming her. I'm just suggesting that that's not what we heard here.
Okay, so now should we move and let her talk about senior centers now? Okay.
Yes, please.
So you're switching hats, and now you're a senior center representative.
And I'm senior, which I've been for a while. I recently took over the duties of treasurer. For the senior center, for the Jet Oldsters. And I wrote the grant application for them. I think that the major concern with them was that Mr. Peterson felt that they had too much of a cash reserve. Well, we are frugal seniors, and that is equal to probably not even kind of around a year's budget. And so if we have funding pulled from somewhere else, the funding arrangements with the senior center have been changing in the last few years. The property is owned by the city. The building is owned by the Parks Department. The staffing was done. Traditionally, the funds that the city has contributed have been for staffing. And I only know that because I found out that it was being paid through at least 2009 directly to Council on Aging. And what Council on Aging was providing was a program director and the janitors. Payroll checks, however, they were not covering the cost for that. The Jet Olsters and the city was covering the cost. So the check from the city was made directly to Council on Aging, and it started out $4,500, and I don't know when that started. And then the Jet Olsters were billed for the remainder, and that was the gross wage plus benefits. So in February of 2010, Council on Aging decided they didn't like that arrangement anymore, that they didn't want to do the payroll. And Jet Olsters had never done payroll. So Jet Olsters took over the responsibility of doing the payroll for the Council on Aging employees. In the meantime, the Parks Department was employing the manager of the center and had been historically doing it. But then they decided it would cut costs for them starting in 2011, about quarter through the year, if they weren't going to have to contribute to things like increasing medical insurance costs and retirement funds. So they said, well, now you go out and hire yourself a manager, Jet Olsters, to take over managing the center, and we'll give you X amount of dollars to pay for the wages and benefits. So the Jet Olsters took that over. The balance, as far as a cash balance, you know, that cash balance has come from some really hard work by the Jet Olsters, and also the fact that a lot of it's like endowments. Some of the elderly here in Ferndale have wanted to see those programs carried on, and when they've passed away, they have less than funds. And the Jet Olsters are very careful with those funds. And they don't want to get down to the point where if the Parks Department decides that they are no longer going to continue this contract, because right now it says, they're saying, oh, we probably will, in our new county executive says, oh, yeah, we're not going to cut back for the senior centers. But if they decide not to, we don't want to close. So we're best off to leave those funds where they are and try to raise funds. The $7,900 is approximately the cost of a very part-time maintenance person who isn't paid very much money and doesn't have any benefits. None of the employees do, because we're frugal, because we're old. And that's the truth.
To kind of finish your story, though, because it is a long story and it took a lot of meetings with them, the prior county executive really did have a directive that said, he made a personal phone call to the mayor, Ferndale, and said, you know, what if we just gave you the building? And, you know, when one of the greatest things you can learn about not going into a situation, it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. It's like, well, why are you doing that? What does that mean to me? Are you saying you're going to give the building to the city of Ferndale? We take over all our maintenance. We take over all operations. We could basically, how much money are you giving the senior center? Well, that got to a discussion like, no, we don't want to do that. Not with basically, the premise was, here's the building, fine, see ya. And boy, thanks to Pete Hartzell and his other friend, we did a lot of work and a lot of lobbying and said, no, you know, the senior citizen center is important. part of your funding source still needs to continue. So they backed away with that, but there is no, you are exactly correct, is there's no teeth that says at one time. I fully expect to see in the future that that will happen. Here it is, it's yours, figure out how to be self-sufficient. That's a difficult endeavor and a story for another day that someday we're going to have to chew on. Councilperson Watson?
I guess I'm trying to understand. So the county owns the building, but you have to pay to clean it. Is that, are you like renting it from them? And so when you rent
it's,
the
it's rent free. However, more and more little things with maintenance and stuff are being, you know, handed over. The building can be rented out, but now the Parks Department has taken over doing the rentals.
Yeah, I tried to rent it. It was
and so they increased the cost, and that means it's not being rented as often, which means that revenue is down. We can't count on that. They do give the
which
debt
you
Ulster,
used to keep, by the way.
They give the debt Ulster 75% of the rent. I mean, we used to give them 25%, but they don't want us collecting money. But there isn't much money because they increase the cost of the rents. So, and because if somebody comes to look at it, they can't make the deal right there, so who wants to do that? So we're losing a lot of money there. Plus, the liability of having your own employees, the increased cost of that, is substantial. And it's a substantial financial burden as far as the extra accounting and so on and so forth. And they've had to go out. They didn't have computers. They were the Parks Department computers. They didn't have computer programs. So
so I'll go a couple questions here. We'll go till 5:55. I want to give you a five-minute break for regular council. It is very early on the agenda, so I'm asking all the people in the audience to stay because it appears that you're not done with this subject yet. So any more questions on the senior center? Okay, you did well.
Thank you.
I see a hand up. Yes, would you like to come?
To address one of the,
yes, sure. This is you're here to help educate us.
Terrific. Well, I did want to. I'm Lori Polavoy with the Ferndale Community Service Cooperative, and I just did want to address the area where we had a lower score, and that is in human capital. And just wanted to, you know, direct your attention to the parts of the proposal that does talk about the number of volunteer hours we had in 2011 was 4,800, a total of 126 volunteers with our programs, and all of our programs, with the exception of the community meal where Luana explained the person is paid $350 a month for very limited hours, all the rest of our programs are directed and delivered by volunteers. So I think we have a really fine source of human capital, reliable, capable, and we're really blessed with that. So I wanted to point that out. And we did address the leveraging, and again, we do have the funding for 2013 to continue staffing at the current level. So, and that's because of funding.
Why we got just a couple, you know, just for review in the audience and maybe the students would like this. Can you review the groups you control out of the service co-op because it's extensive? So just quickly.
We have six programs. The Ferndale Community Resource Center is right next door. The Ferndale Friendship Community Garden is over there by Pioneer Park. We've got the Holiday Giving Store, and you'll be seeing more publicity coming about that real soon. There is the community meal, the other bank, and the newest program is the Ferndale Family Community Fund, which is in cooperation with the school district, as are a couple of our other programs.
And she, just so she knows publicly, Sam and I are still trying to get you room for your clothing bank, and we're trying to create space for a file somewhere. Don't comply. Yeah, we haven't been successful.
You're working on it.
That was not a promise.
And again,
we're running up for a year and we haven't made a lot of progress.
Once again, that was named the number two need.
It's a closet in the building.
We're going to lease a closet.
But it's one of our few warm, dry storage places. Still doesn't meet our requirements because it's in the floodplain.
It's not a closet, though. It's a very large room.
It's a very large
room. It would be very helpful for them to have that room, but it's a very, very helpful climate-controlled room for us for our archived public record.
It's the only one. Much better.
It's our only room.
Much better than the pizza annex that had a leak in the roof.
Which we still have some records at right now.
You can put the clothing bank in the pizza annex.
Okay, good point for stopping. We're going to reconvene at 6 o'clock. We'll stop the work session. All please rise.
I'm sorry.
We don't have numbers.
Move to our flag. Councilperson Olson, will you lead us tonight?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Our clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson?
Present.
Councilmember Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Olson?
Here.
Councilmember Ingram?
Here.
Councilmember Mutzler?
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Here. Okay, as I told you earlier, Councilor Zimmerman has texted me the new modern way. He's at the doctor with a puffy knee and is asking to be excused for the whole meeting. He said he might try to come in later, but let's excuse him in case he doesn't.
I move to excuse Councilmember Zimmerman.
Second. Okay, so move second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, next up is the public comment period. This is times for people to talk to the council on anything that's on their mind that's not on tonight's agenda with the exception of the consent agenda. Students get extra credit for addressing the council. It's a little-known secret that only I know about. Okay, so anyone from the audience, your hand up was first. We would welcome you to the microphone. Name and address if you'd like.
Hello, lady and gentlemen. I am Marty Crisp, and my address is 6487 Little Big Horn in Maple Falls. I am currently the Ferndale Public Market Manager, and I came here to thank the city and the council for their help and their support for our community and for the market. I'd like to tell you that the market was a great success this year. We had a lot more people involved. We had more vendors involved after the June when I became the manager. We had great increases in the vendor revenues, and our WIC program was a success for over $1,000 of WIC and senior tax coming in. And we hope to have the EBT in next year. So I know that would be a great success for this community. There was a great deal of farmer issues this year, but we seem to have resolved those. We are asking more farmers to come in and vend their things, whether it's good or bad for their gardens, small gardens, large gardens. We also support the Victory Garden, I do believe, that's here in Ferndale, and we're also doing some networking with other markets. We're also doing other markets from Bellingham, Linden, and Everson that we're trying to help them get their vendors in and get their farmers going as well.
So I was smiling because that's a term I'm sure our planning director was young was going, Victory Garden? Victory Garden, you know what Victory Garden is?
I do.
Your history lesson?
I do. You look good.
Anyone not know what Victory Garden was? Your history?
Yes,
you know,
we
history.
All know.
Okay. Good job.
I
wanted
to point out that he didn't think I didn't know.
Just saying.
It's true.
Annual meeting.
But
excuse me? And the annual meeting.
And our annual meeting is next, or actually it's tomorrow, and I invite all of you to attend. We are voting on a new board, which I'm hoping the new board will take me back. The vendors seem to like me. The board seems to like me, but I would do it free if I had to.
Oh, good.
So you can go ahead and mark that down.
You realize Paul and I are old enough that we probably helped our parents tend the Victory Garden.
There you go.
Really, I thought you were old enough where you actually had two or three of them.
No, not bad.
So, in conclusion, I'm looking forward to working with.
I'll tell you how bad it was. They built a Victory Garden in our sandball lot. Man, it was just terrible.
Oh,
trying to
Nazi.
Play baseball in a cornfield doesn't work.
No.
We all promise that when we leave here tonight, we'll all shed a tear for you.
Yeah, do that.
Right. I'm looking forward to working with the city and the chamber and the Downtown Ferndale Association for next year. Planning and having events for this community that I call my own, even though I don't technically live here. I've worked here for 9 years, and I believe all my friends and colleagues are here. Well, thank you very much.
Even though the weather was really ugly, I think everybody had a great time Saturday.
They absolutely did. They absolutely did. My vendors were just so happy.
Going to be on the front page of the paper.
Yeah, yes. And the people that I talked to, we had a great doggy contest and baking contest and pumpkin contest that people just seem to dearly love. So these are items that will probably come back next year.
Baking contest won by a 13-year-old
yes,
middle
school
girl.
Yes, it was the most
awesome.
Funniest thing. Which item was it? It was number 6. It was a cake
with the caramel sauce.
With the caramel sauce.
And, yes. It was very yummy.
It was amazing.
Well, now we're all hungry.
Really was.
All right, moving on.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else from the audience?
Reverend.
Welcome.
Thank you. Friends, my name is Bobby Vierth. I am the pastor over at the United Church of Ferndale that houses our community meal, amongst other things. In fact, next Sunday we will be completing collecting coats, and we will start handing out coats to anyone who needs a warm coat on the 24th and the 27th of October. But that's not why I'm here. I'm here to thank you all for the good work that you do in our city and to give you a personal invitation, because I'm not only pastor of the United Church of Ferndale, I'm also on the Board of Interfaith Coalition. And we are taking October 27th to make a difference here in Ferndale. Our congregation is sponsoring a Hands Across Ferndale event to raise funds to support the Our House campaign, which is raising funds for a capital campaign to build 2 more units behind a house that we already have here in the city of Ferndale that houses homeless families. And I would like you to know that we have a family currently residing in this house who's working with an Opportunity Council liaison to work on their goals to get it secured in a more permanent housing. This is a family of 6 that was living in the woods, and they are so grateful to be in a home where they can work on their personal goals and to keep their children in the school district surrounded by people who know, love, and care for them. So on Make a Difference Day, our goal is to start in our church parking lot on Washington Street and work our way to Samuel's Furniture. We will have 4 stations for people to register in our church parking lot over here at right next door at the Ferndale Resource Center, and then over in front of True Value Hardware Store, and then at the Samuel's parking lot. And I would like to personally invite and challenge each one of you to come out and hold hands with your neighbors. Now, this is a fundraiser, so we're inviting people to pay $10 or more to come and join hands with us, and no one will be turned away. If there's somebody who can't afford it, we have people who are putting in a little bit or more, so that everyone who wants to join hands can make this line across Ferndale. We need at least 942 people to come out and help us join hands.
All of us included.
That's everyone here.
Students,
you hear me? 942 at least to be able to make our goal from getting from the United Church over to Samuel's Furniture. So for you all, I have some little visual aids. I have a pamphlet that tells you a little more about our house if you don't know. I have a poster to put on your refrigerator with information so that you can be reminded that you want to come to this. And then I have the registration form. And so I would encourage you to fill out the registration form. If you fill it out tonight, I'll wait for you and take it back with me.
Great. Thank you.
May I ask a quick question?
Yes.
You may.
How's the funding doing for our house?
Thank you for asking.
You're very welcome.
Our goal is to raise $500,000, and I was told as of Friday that we have funds in hand as well as pledged funds, not counting any in-kind donations, but pledged in cash, we are at $250,000. So I'm really excited. Thank you. Hoot and holler. This is a big deal. And we will have a thermometer that will be in front of Hagen before, I think it's going to be ready the week that we do our hands across Ferndale. All right? And so how many of you remember the Victory Garden? Do you remember in 1983 when we had a campaign to join hands across America? The largest fundraising event in history that went to help local food banks and homeless housing projects. And this is what we're practicing for. We're doing this specifically for our house. But in May, there is going to be a reunion, 30-year reunion, of Hands Joining Hands Across America. And there's a young man in the Seattle area that is used to be a Western student. His name is Nick. I've met him online. And he is trying to organize this across America. And so I told him I wanted to be a part of it. So this is our dress rehearsal, so to say, so that we can participate in this bigger one in May. And I'm hoping that this helps some of our local venues that need our monies as well as our house. All right? Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Like you're okay.
So this is going to start right after the community meal ends.
Correct. Yes. The registration time will be opened up at 1 o'clock. The community meal is done by 1, right?
And we stop serving at 12. But, you know,
yes.
By the time
and
we get cleaned
so by
up.
So by the time you clean up, we wanted to have cleanup time, and we're really hoping that community meal members will be able to come out and help us as well. And we're reserving our church parking lot if there's anyone who has special needs, i.e. if they walk with walkers or in wheelchairs, that they can come and park in our parking lot and we'll get them closer. The police department is on board. The sheriff's department is on board. The firefighters are on board. The Boy Scouts are on board. The Girl Scouts are on board. The members of my congregation, we've invited all of the other congregations, not only in the Ferndale area, but who are members of Interfaith Wascom County. You really don't want to miss it.
You'll be taking attendance, won't you?
Pardon?
You will be taking attendance, won't you?
I will be. I will be. In fact, I have my husband working on getting a friend who is a pilot to fly overhead to take a picture.
Oh, that would be great.
So, there you have it.
Thank you. In the rain.
Okay, anyone else from the audience would like to come forward and speak on anything you'd like to speak about? That's great. All right, thank you. Council, next up is the consent agenda. I accept the motion.
So moved.
Second. Moved and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, organizational grant program. So we kind of were on that angle on the last one. Further direction from council?
What is our timeline for voting on this? I'm curious. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Councilperson Watson?
What is our timeline for voting on this? We're not voting tonight, correct?
It's part of, it would probably be part of the budget process. We haven't actually set an actual date on it.
So we put a line item in for each one?
Yeah, we have to adopt the budget before the end of the month. I'm hopeful.
This month?
December.
Okay.
And I tentatively have it scheduled for the ordinance to be adopted on our first meeting in December, since I'm optimistic. So if that's the case, that will be, not counting tonight, that will be the third meeting from now.
Okay.
So next meeting we'll probably be talking about, we have it scheduled to talk about the property tax levy, and we'll be hopefully getting a little closer on some of these other negotiations. So the end of November is probably the time when we're going to want to be finalizing up a lot of these numbers.
Councilperson Watson.
So will these be individual line items? Will we be voting for these individually? Or we just say we're going to
this
is all or nothing?
This was a council-directed action to fill out these forms.
Yes, dear, I know.
Yeah, I could easily see that based on motions and seconds, we actually adopt each one of those line items, and then we adopt the budget as a package.
Okay.
Councilperson Metzler?
Yeah, that was the intent, that each one would be handled individually.
Okay. That shouldn't take more than an hour and a half.
Or two.
Okay, now, I don't,
I don't believe we had anybody from domestic violence to talk about, so I don't think there. We have two members of the Domestic Violence Coalition. Chief, do you want to speak on behalf of domestic violence, or are you prepared to do that? Or?
Yep.
Specifically, what
would
you have in mind?
Are you against violence? or against domestic violence.
Yeah. threw a ringer at you.
Yeah.
I serve on the commission, as does the mayor. The funding, of course, that they're looking for is the funding for the advocate for the small agencies. That's critical to have that. Fortunately, we just found out today that we do a telephone campaign, as we've done the last couple of years, and we got $10,000 last year because we beat out LAPD. This year, we got the grant for $7,000, so that's going to help defray some of these costs associated with this advocate. The assessment. Seven?
So did we win again?
Yes. Well, what I did is apply for a grant this year. And so, because the competition as such was not the way we thought it was going to go. So we applied for a grant and received $7,000. So there's an assessment made, as you know, on the amount of the size of your department, population, and things like that. So it's going to be somewhat, that $7,000 will help defray that cost. I think they're asking from us the amount. Do you have that in front of you?
Yeah, it's on the other.
Yeah, they're requesting $2,700 for DBSAS itself and $5,000 for Helpline. So two different amounts.
Helpline. Oh, they're Helpline. Yeah.
Yeah.
All I can tell you is that the statistics show that we are actively engaged in the business of domestic violence, and whatever support we can have for these vital programs. I can't underscore more seriously than that.
Any questions? Councilperson Watson?
I guess the chief can't really speak to the question of how much cash on hand, because they have $1.some million cash on hand. I think that was part of the concern, was they have so much cash on hand, why do they need $7,000 from us? But I don't think that's really a...
when I saw that figure, quite honestly, that figure does not ring true.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like a lot. I just didn't.
It seems an awful lot. I am not familiar with that figure. I can verify it for you and have that information for you by tomorrow.
It was on their 990, but I believe it's a holdover from it's a holdover from the old Bingo 262, which was run by the Whatcom Crisis Services.
Yes.
And when they sold that building, it was a substantial amount of money. And I suspect that what they did is they just rolled it into a reserve.
And they
our clerk has a clarification on that.
So I believe you're correct on that. For the budget total for domestic violence and what they're requesting is $91,700. That's the full program. The city of Ferndale is being requested to provide $2,700 for this specific portion of it out of $91,000, $2,700. City of Bellingham, it looks like the intention is $54,000 and Whatcom County $35,000 for the total figure. I don't know if the city of Bellingham is still providing that funding or if that's part of their social services that they're removing at United Way, so I can't speak to that. And then for Helpline, the total cost is $73,400. They actually intend for Bellingham to provide $4,800 in the city of Ferndale. They've requested $5,000. They have a grant of $10,200. They have general funding of $43,000, and then in-kind volunteer time of $10,400. So they do have a very large fund balance comparatively to the programs themselves.
I will find that figure out for you.
Thanks. I would appreciate that.
Tomorrow. I'll have that answer for you.
Well, you know, we've mentioned this a couple of times tonight, and I know it's not on none of our businesses. It's not for us to worry about, but I'm really concerned that Bellingham's thinking about just saying we're going to just give this amount of money to the United Way. Most of the charitable donation watchdog groups rate United Way as the absolute positively worst person you can give money to in the world. Their overhead is astronomical. So I'm concerned that if they give them that money, that there's going to be a lot of things that are just going to go totally unfunded.
Well, like Sam talked about, that it hasn't been voted on by the council. I know it's controversial. We'll see how that goes, but it leads into why we formed, or why some great people worked so hard to form the Community Service Co-op, in the fact that for people from Ferndale, it's really hard to access all of those organizations.
Yeah.
They tend to be located in Bellingham. It's you know, the
well, you're
people
exactly
we're dealing
correct.
With don't really have sometimes the ability to just
to
get
jump
in
the car
and
drive.
Yeah,
no, no, you're exactly correct. I'm just concerned that
Sam brought up a great point. Is that, you know, this is our community. These are our people. These are the people we care about, and I think it's justifiable to keep that control here.
Definitely.
You may approach the microphone if you like.
Hi again, Suzanne Nevan with the Food Bank. One thing that I've really been fighting really hard the last 3 months. In just right in line with what your concerns are, I don't share your view of United Way. However, the reality is that there's Bellingham and then there's the rest of the county. And so from that perspective, it is of great concern. I know that folks say to me when I go doing my ask to places like Samson Rope, BP, you know, that are very integrated with the United Way program already, they say, well, you're already getting funding from us. And I say, no, I'm not. United Way funds flow to Bellingham. Bellingham supports the county in that they are a depot for whatever food we receive from Commodities or Food Lifeline or Northwest Harvest. When it comes into town, it goes one place because they want one-stop shopping. And then we go there and pick up the pallets and bring it to our food banks. It is a grave misconception that the programs that are funded out of Bellingham trickle down to us. They don't, flat out. And I had another situation with the Whatcom Soccer Association was running a food drive this last weekend. And anonymously, just as a mom, I sent an email out saying, you know, it'd be really great if you all thought about doing a food drive for the county food banks, too, because we're addressing great need out in the county. And the email I got back was, well, Bellingham Food Bank gives the county food. They give you 500,000 pounds of food a year. I didn't respond again, but it only made me see that I'm really on the right track here, that we need to bring a voice to these county communities. And what greater voice is if the councils of each one of these communities support these vital services that are provided to the folks in need? What greater voice? We're all out there scratching and clawing for dollars. And what has been spoken here tonight is the gospel. The need is growing. The costs are growing. The foundational grant money is drying up, because they're suffering from the same calamities that we are. So when you all consider this budget, please, please, please don't put to someone else. Give a voice to this body that gives a clear message out in the county that you all are supporting these services. It means so much to us, so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilperson Mutchler?
This has been really good. I've enjoyed it. I work for a nonprofit. It's supported entirely by donations, no grants, no city money, no government money, and so my heart goes out to people that depend on those donations. And I really appreciate all the groups that have been represented here. Last night, my daughter Emma said that, Dad, I have a job for you to do tomorrow morning. I need you to take the van and take it to the food bank to drop off some food. It'll be all loaded up. You just take it down there and we'll help you out. I got to the church. They didn't load it up. I had to load it up. And what was it? I don't know what.
482 pounds.
Yeah, and I moved it all. And I go, thanks, sweetheart, for doing that for me. But what was the joy about it was to see you guys in action. And the charisma that you bring to that, and the dignity that you give to people that come there, it's really awesome. all the groups. And Lucy, you know, I've seen you do your thing for the last 4 years. I appreciate Sam's effort on this. And Mark, I don't know who asked you to weigh in on that, but you did, and I appreciate that. My struggle with all that is, like everybody's, is the budgets and things like that. We're this council's considering for the first time in a number of years a property tax increase. And that's really popular with the citizens. They love hearing things like that, but that's for things like trying to hire another police officer that we so desperately need and a fourth water plant operator, things like that. So I want you to know that things are tight for you guys, but they genuinely are for us as well. And I think these are important decisions. I'm glad we're spending the time doing it. I like this new process, but I know this council is committed to doing what's best for Ferndale.
And Mr. Butchler, I never say your name right. Sorry.
John
Mr. John.
Really good.
I will tell you that I and my volunteers will get out and convince the citizenry of Ferndale that if they have to have a slight increase in order to fund all these vital functions, I'll be out there door knocking for you.
Is that on tape?
That's on tape. I mean, because the bottom line is information is power. Do you think that the property owners of the city necessarily know that over 50% of the children at this school have free or reduced lunch? That their families have to decide, you know, are we going to be able to have milk this week? I will be out there thumping and informing this community if that helps to make this budget come together.
I think you're informing my church on November, what did we just say?
Fourth.
There, so there's a start for you.
Counsel, for the record, I told you she lacked passion.
Yeah. She's a slacker.
Lucy, welcome, please. Who are you?
My name is Lucy Morris. I live at 2501 Mountain View Road. And did you say compassion or passion? It's both.
Yeah,
it's
fair enough.
It's both. The issue that I would like to address is the role of the city in supporting nonprofits. And I think that you would find that the city is a better place for your support. The city, the number of volunteers who come together to work together, it's not only the people who are living in poverty who are served, it's the volunteers who are served. They're given a social connection, they're given a vital job to do in the community, they do it together. And there's no greater satisfaction, I think, in this world than working together with other people to do a job well that serves other people. It really is no other. I mean, that's what feels best. That's what nourishes our souls. And I know you're not. I know you have to think about the budget. These are small potatoes. And I'm with Suzanne in saying that I think the number of volunteers, we have 126 volunteers with the service cooperative. And if we enlisted those people to talk with their neighbors, to have teach-ins in their homes or whatever we need to do, we can have groups meet that invite neighbors and say, this is what this supports. If that's what it takes, if that's what it is needed, then we will do that. I really think we need to think about quality of life and not, I know the budget is your bottom line. You really need to think about that. I know that. I believe me, I do. And we're not asking for full funding. It's not like the city is paying for the social services. You're contributing as contributing members of this community, as leaders of this community, and then as Suzanne was saying, other people say, oh, these guys think it's important. And other people participate. And we get more volunteers, and then that brings people together more, and we're all a better community for it. I have some specific details about the service cooperative if you'd like to hear them, like points of service, numbers of people served, that sort of thing. I don't know if you want to hear
here,
that. That's all in the application.
The agenda still has time.
It's all in the application. I've read the application.
Okay. Okay, so if you all have read it, then I don't need to reiterate. I just wanted to highlight some things if you wanted to hear them. So, thank you.
Yes. Not for Lucy, but is Teen Court here? Is anyone from Teen Corps?
Doesn't the Funeral for the Few Services is here?
No.
Okay. They didn't have to come, right? They were just invited to come.
No one was required to come. I just tried to invite everyone.
Okay.
City Administrator and I had a discussion. Do you want to review Teen Corps a little bit, Greg?
Teen Court is part of the court system whereby they take youth offenders and actually involve them in the adjudication of fellow offenders, if you will. It's not mandatory. It's an optional program. And as a result, it's not something that the county funds through the normal course, but again, they just add to their funds so they can bring this optional program around. It has been shown nationwide to be extremely good in diverting teens. Of course, they're youth offenders, so they're new at the crime game. So it has been extremely effective nationwide, and this program is actually modeled on that nationwide program.
So the job would be for a teen who has been a youth offender, and they're trying to...
There's two aspects to this. Mm-hmm. One is funding Teen Court. And so that the Teen Court is a program where the judges, prosecutors, defenders volunteer their time to have a court setting, and then students volunteer their time to participate in the jury and to understand how it works. And then the offender, someone who actually has wronged in some way, goes to that court, and their punishment is mitigated by going to this court, which is not, at that point, a criminal thing. They're basically putting off a more serious setting by participating here.
Okay.
The intent is to lower the recidivism rates of, you know, that person. And they do have a very successful rate, although one thing that was I noticed in the application was the way they calculated it is based on 6 months after they were sentenced or participated in the program, not a year. So it's a very small window that they calculate for this. But according to this, it's successful. That's $2,250. That's what we've provided in the past for Teen Court specifically. This year, they're also requesting $1,500 to help fund the summer jobs program. And that's where at-risk youth, usually from low-income settings, are given positions. Some businesses fund that position totally themselves. They just participate in the program. Mm-hmm. Others can't afford another worker, but so they're subsidized through this program.
Okay.
And so the $1,500 is intended to help pay that at-risk youth teen salary or pay for the summer in Ferndale specifically.
Okay. So it will it be a Ferndale youth here in Ferndale?
That's what I understand from the application.
If we have enough miscreants. We haven't had a shortage
here
in the past. Councilperson Goodrich?
I just want to say to all the groups that are here tonight that we do value what you do to the community. I think that all of us here would admit that you all provide a service, and I'm sure you could get up with all your statistics and say, look at all the things, and we understand that. I think the hard thing is going to be for us to decide with the budgets, do we have the money to support, continue supporting these things. Personally, I think it would be hard to say, well, gee, we're going to do the Fern Bank, the Ferndale Food Bank, but, Teen Court, well, maybe not that. Senior Center, they got lots of money. I think, to me, it's almost an all or nothing, thing that we need to look at, because you all have value. And to say, well, gee, the Community Service Cooperative, you want $7,800, the domestic violence is $7,700. Well, gee, who has better value? We'll give it to this one and not this one. So I think we as the council is going to have to is it going to be an all or nothing, type of thing? Because it really, how do you justify which group is better than another group to receive the money?
Well, in the past, though, and all of these groups are unbelievably polite in the fact that we have sometimes adjusted amounts, and they never say, okay, basically they're all on the same premise of, we'll take what you can give us, and we always need more. Our portion of their total budget that you're seeing before you, regardless of what amounts you decide, is a tiny percentage of their operation. And so you are correct. I mean, we've lowered, we've adjusted, we've dropped off the Center for Economic and Vitality. But in the past, we have looked and said, okay, this is what we can do, and
they've been very polite to say, gee, that's not as much as us. We're happy.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you have to look at it as a total and go that way. Councilperson Hanson?
Well, I was just going to follow up with what Brent said. Certainly, I'm not prepared tonight, or probably won't be in November, to say to any organization, look, your services aren't as valuable as the other guys are, so we're going to cut you out completely so that we can support the service of another organization. As I read it, most of the organizations have asked for at least 10% increase, and some have asked for 50% increase. And our job, our difficult job, is to say, okay, what can we handle and still take care of the other priorities in our budget? We're probably not going to give 10 and 12 and 50% increases to any section of our budget. So this is to follow what the mayor said. They're probably going to be very polite and accept what we're able to do. Having said that, I think that we can probably make fairly short work of it. Not that it's not important and that we're going to take it lightly, but certainly I can't support cutting anyone out completely in favor of somebody else. On the other hand, I also can't support dramatic increases for one organization when, as I read through all of this material, a dramatic increase would be beneficial and probably appropriate for every one of those organizations. So we have to achieve a balance. That's the point.
And that's what you're paid the big dollars for.
I know.
Big decisions.
I never forget that.
City Administrator, and then I want to, before, this is the one time they're all here, so if we have questions, we might as well grab them. So City Administrator, then Councilperson Mutzler.
Slightly as an aside, the issue of property taxes came up in our budget. This is what's being passed around as a chart that our esteemed finance directors put together. A lot of numbers, but there's a few numbers that I think kind of stand out just to kind of put things in context. The big bold box says a 1% increase for a $250,000 home is $4.97 a year. So statutorily, we can go up 1%. And right now, the median household value in Ferndale is $250,000, so a 1% increase is $4.97. At the very bottom of that spreadsheet, you can see it says 2011 annual real estate taxes, and you can see that $250,000 house in 2011 paid $495 to the city of property tax. Just above that is another box that says 2012 annual real estate taxes, and that same house valued at $250,000 paid $496.61. So they had a $1.20 increase for the year, not because we raised taxes, but just because the overall assessed valuation of the city. So then over on the left-hand side, you can actually see the allowed by law, which is the 1%, and we have 4% banked, actually 4.53. So you can go down that column and see if you were to take the 1 plus 2 for that $250,000 house you run over, and that's $14.90. So you can kind of see what different levels of property tax increases over and above the statutory 1% would cost both the average home value as well as what may have to be considered the lower-end home values as well as the upper-end, because it goes from $150,000 to $400,000. And also down in the bottom left-hand corner, you can see our history. In 2008, we took a 3% property tax, 2009, 3%, but for 2010, 11, and 12, we've taken 0% in all three of those years. So this just kind of gives you a context of what we have on the books for property tax that we've not availed ourselves to, and what the approximate cost would be for a variety of house values given different tax increases over and above the 1%.
Okay, after taking the agenda in a completely different direction than listed, Councilperson Mutchell, you had your hand up. Do you want to go back to the direction we were, or do you like to discuss this direction?
I was enamored with what Gregory was saying, so I'll just ask a quick question for the treasurer.
ballpark figure, solid waste, we add 1%. What does that bring in a year? As a revenue enhancement device?
About 60 grand.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Solid waste from the garbage handlers? Or is that the solid waste?
Transfers.
Okay. It's about 100,000, Mark.
12 to 13. What would that bring in? We go from just 12 to 13.
Yeah, let me clarify.
Thank you.
A 1 percentage point increase from 12% to 3% would be closer to 100 grand.
Okay, back in order, I have Councilperson Ingram, and then I have Watson, and then I have Olson. So, Councilperson Watson, then Olson.
I guess a question for Mr. Peterson. We had quite a bit of building this year. I'm always trying to figure out when will we start getting taxes from those new houses? We had a lot of new houses built this year. Will we even see those in 2013, or will we see that money?
We will learn about how much new construction goes on the books for 2013 and therefore how much money extra property tax we're going to get. We've already put in our spreadsheets, I believe the answer is like 20 grand for new construction.
That's so you already put it in there.
It may be higher than 20 grand. Mm-hmm. Not sure, because the previous year was more like 45, 48. So I've already planned on some money in there.
Okay.
And yet we are still underwater about 50 grand.
Yeah, I think we don't find out that final figure until after the end of the year.
It's always a guess. It's after we've done our
Councilperson Olson and Mutchler.
I don't want to step on your toes. I still want to continue this one. because this one actually feeds this one.
Yeah.
So if we were to take
the we always take 1%, right?
We do not.
No, you don't have to. The last 3 years we've taken zero. We've banked that 1% the last 3 years.
And all we have left in bank is 4.53?
We have the 1%, yeah, plus the 4.53. You can see in 2008, 2009, we took 3%. We were eating away at our bank capacity up till 2009.
I should know that. I was there. So if we took the 3%, that would leave us 2.53 banked?
Is that correct?
No.
It wouldn't leave us 2.53?
Took 3. Yeah, you'd have 2.5.
Meaning on the chart it says 1 plus 2?
Correct.
So if we took the 1 plus the 2%, that would leave us 2.53 in banked.
Okay.
And having a home that was valued at one point at $300,000, which is now $193,000, that would basically be a dollar a month.
Yes, you were correct.
Okay.
Did you pay for your water?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, easy with that water.
Good night. Twist.
Councilperson Mutchler.
This is just maybe helpful to Kathy. I can't say this definitively, but it appears to me when you build new homes, I've built two, and my son-in-law just built one, is that there seems to be they're behind a year. So he and I paid property taxes on the property that first year I lived in my house. Like my first year property was like $400. It takes a while before they finally figure out there's a house there. And so there's a delay because of that kind of a deal, too.
Yeah, they are getting a little quicker, but still not.
If you're not completed by around the 1st of July,
right,
completely done, you're not going to go on the tax rolls until 2014.
Right.
Okay. That helps.
Could we maybe get back on the agenda?
Well, yes. I mean, I never suddenly diverted the agenda, but so the agenda we're still on is the organizational grant program. We still have some guests here that have been patient. So
or we could move on to the next item.
Do we have any questions for them, or can they?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't have any questions.
Okay. Any statements the groups would like to say or speak or? Okay. Good. Okay. We will move away from organizational grant program, and we'll go into the public hearing. So thank all of you for coming. You can stay if you want to, but it's not done like. Okay. Public hearing: retail design standards amendment, and our planning director, Mr.
I'll give 3 minutes.
I only need
2 minutes. Good evening, Council. Good evening, Mr. Mayor. Planning Commission has recommended approval of amendments to Chapter 18.12, which is Retail Design Guidelines and Standards. The Council saw this exact same chapter back in May, and brief repeat of what we did. The chapter is, and since 2006, has been organized where it has required standards and optional guidelines. But the way that it was organized before led to perhaps some confusion that we wanted to avoid in case we had or when we have large format retail come to town. What we had sought to do in May is to make it clear that the standards were separate from the guidelines and that there were some guidelines in there that you might not actually see built on the ground because they are optional guidelines. Immediately after council adopted this, Code Publishing, which is the organization that we use to reformat our code so it can be seen electronically, observed that in some of the required elements we say should, and in some of the optional elements we still said shall. Should means optional, shall means mandatory. What we're trying to do here tonight is simply make sure that in the standards required, it says shall, and in the guidelines, optional, it says should. Want to make that again clear for you, so if and when a large retailer or a retailer comes to town and there is not one of the guidelines that's actually built on the ground, you understand, because that's an optional. As long as they adhere to the standards, they do not need to do one of the optional guidelines. Staff recommends approval. Planning Commission also recommended approval.
Questions for staff, and this is a public hearing. Councilperson Watson?
Just a quick question. There's still a lot of formatting issues, a lot of extra spaces and stuff. Is that just my PDF copy?
It's probably just what you already sent. It'll be fixed for the actual code and whatnot. It's just how it, when he sends it to me, it changes the formatting a little bit.
And I have one question.
Probably the clerk will correct what the planning director is.
I'll make him fix it for you.
And there was, it said bus stops and drop-off pickup points should. So that didn't get changed to shall. Is there a reason that the buses and it was J, central features and community spaces.
What page is it on?
Do you know? I don't know if it helps. It's 23 on my PDF. I don't know if that helps you.
Actually, I have it right to you here.
71. Well, at least on the council packet, 71.
And this was J number 1 or J number 2?
Just says central features and community spaces. Let me go back.
Standards and guidelines.
I apologize. Because my PDF pages are always different.
But bus stops and drop-off pickup points should be considered as integral parts of the configuration.
So that doesn't have to be a shell.
It doesn't have to be a shell, especially because I can say, I'm requiring you to put a bus stop here. And WTA might say, thanks, and who are you? It's not up to us to decide where a bus stop necessarily goes. So they should, if they do not show that they have considered it.
So it wasn't just a blanket shell in the guidelines. It was versus guidelines. Okay. Thank you.
But if you spot any... Please, we went through and we found the ones that we thought made sense.
Okay. Any other further questions for staff?
I actually did have one, because the one about we've always had the issue with the parking, because, you know, when you go to Costco, you've got to cross that awful street. And so what we're doing now is we're saying you should try not to do that, but not you shall not do that, right? That's what it's going to mean. So if you had, like, a big Costco or somebody come, if they wanted to, they could have the pedestrians do what they do now in Meridian. Is that correct? I just want to understand.
That was a section that we went back, around and around on. We didn't go back, I wouldn't say, in May. The way that it reads now, or the way that it's intended now, is that there will be elements in place to prevent that Costco scenario as you see it now. Mm-hmm. But exactly what it would look like, we don't go that far to say it will have this or it will not have that.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, in my looking down on mine, it says pedestrian circulation. Standard pedestrian walkways shall provide user-friendly access from the parking lot area to the primary building entrance. Sounds pretty clear to me. How they do it, we don't care.
Exactly. So it could be that Councilmember Watson reading that would have a different interpretation of what that means than Council Member Ingram. The key is that there would be that element in there.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, any further questions from staff? Okay, so this is a public hearing. Public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in the decision-making process. If you intend to speak, it's necessary that you sign up on the sheet that will be located at the room divider. I don't see anyone signed up. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to beginning the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, follows, proceed to the speaker's rostrum. The microphone clearly state your name and address. If you're speaking as a representative for another person or organization, so state. State whether you're proponent, opponent, or neither. Limit your comments to 3 minutes after all the comments are heard. If you have something to add, you are not already stated. At the discretion of the mayor, you may give an additional 2 minutes. There will be no demonstration during the conclusion of anyone's presentation. During the public testimony period of the public hearing, the council staff and audience remain silent. After your presentation, council members may wish to ask you questions. At the last person spoken, the hearing will be closed and the council will enter a regular session. These rules are intended for an orderly system of holding a public hearing to give every person an opportunity to be heard and ensure that no individual is embarrassed by exercising a right to free speech. So at 6:50.51, I'm opening the public hearing. Does anyone in the audience wish to come forward and speak? Seeing none, I close the public hearing at 6:51.02. Council action. Councilperson Olson.
I'd like to make a motion to approve AB 2012-10-005.
Seconded by Councilperson Mushler?
Yes.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Councilperson Mutchler?
Pardon me, could I ask a leading question? I'm just curious. I'm mostly upset. When we have public hearings like we just did, would it be permissible that we not read the instructions if we asked ahead of time if anybody wishes to speak? If nobody wishes to speak, we could perhaps bypass it. There may be reasons.
I've debated that with our clerk on several occasions.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have our clerk answer.
Thank you.
We need to officially open and close a public hearing. It's required because this is an extremely official thing under state law where we're required to ensure.
No argument.
Yeah. So in my opinion, we need to officially open and close it with the instructions.
Yeah. It also tends to set the tone.
Then so could we train the mayor to really, like on those commercials, like the medical fine print you hear on the ads on TV?
You just have me read it. Susan
Cole brought that up. She said, my gosh, you talk faster than I do. And I go, I actually try to talk faster than I can.
Do they legally have to be read, or can he say the rules on public hearings are printed for you? Please read them and adhere to them.
We don't legally have to read the instructions for the public hearing, but as the city administrator said, it sets the tone for the hearing. But as it relates to this specific question in which no one's here, then perhaps we could do that.
But you never can tell. You don't know.
Exactly.
You're not allowed to ask before reading it if someone's going
to
speak.
Well, then you're just telling them to be polite.
Yeah. Okay. Community Development Director.
I tried to be lean.
A lean thing that hospitals do when they have those disclaimers, seriously, is that they tape it, mm-hmm. and so you play it, you start it, you play it, and you can do other stuff, and then when you're done, you turn it off. That way, if you stumble or whatever, you don't need to do it.
You can hit fast forward.
You can actually play it a little bit faster.
That's extremely weird.
It's extremely lean.
Alvin and Chipmunks.
It was in a hospital.
People love what hospitals
where they
do.
Lean.
Yeah.
Maybe make Captain members take turns.
Of course, now we've wasted all the time.
I was just going to say, discussing how we can. Sometimes you got to take some time to save some time.
Mayor's reports and comments.
Okay. I have mayor reports. First one, I have a discussion of the COG meeting we attended to WSDOT. Kind of shows you where your gas tax dollars are going.
Not to hear.
And I'll let you relieve that. Here's the statement from the Washington State Department of Transportation, and it's a telling statement that kind of tells you where we're at today, is that right from WSDOT, we are no longer in the state of Washington in the road building business. We don't build roads anymore. We build utility corridors and stormwater management facilities, and the road service is just part of that project. Because you look at that percentage, and if you look at what's happening on Main Street,
you know, I totally agreed with that. In terms of the percentage of dollars that are expended, the road surface is a small percentage of it. The rest is utilities corridor and stormwater management.
Yeah, it is.
Some interesting there. It kind of shows you. WSDOT basically will show at the end of the thing is that we don't have money for large projects. If you wanted to be proud of your mayor when they did their proposal and going, here's our large WSDOT projects that should go forward in the future, their number one on their list was an extension on Horton Road to Slater. And everyone stood there and talked about it. And so, again, for the second time, your mayor raised his hand and go, I thought we've argued about this before. Why would you put all your money that you just told us you have no money, why is your number one project extending Horton Road to Slater when you have no money to fix for Slater? You have another NT right here that wants to put more traffic into Slater.
Horton to Slater.
And there is no, I mean, the portion there, there's no road there. I go, why are you not discussing Smith Road? Smith Road's already there. You could put on or on to Smith. And the argument was, well, but this was our project. Well, we have no numbers here. Why are you going forward this? Again, I'm protesting on the behalf of Ferndale that this is my word was, this is a dumb proposal by WSDOT. Enough said. Okay, so you got the road quote. Council reports. Council person Goodrich.
Recently, the mayor and I were the two from Ferndale that I saw that attended a breakfast on behalf of the Gateway Pacific Terminal. And they were talking about the EIS process that's starting. There's going to be some public hearings, and I forgot and left the schedule when they are. But there will be one here in Ferndale at the Ferndale Event Center. I do believe it's in November, where the public can come and voice what, for 2 minutes, they'll be allowed, what they think the scope of the EIS should be. And just to give you an idea, there are some people out there that think the scope should include all of the west coast of the United States, from border to border. So any project that's in, I think you said there were six projects on the west coast that are being proposed, that all six of those should be looked at the same way and thing. So if this project down here has something, then all the other projects have to be that. What he was asking for is people to come and talk. On the main points is to limit the scope to this project and this project only, and then also to talk about the economic benefits of what this project can mean to the community. And one of the numbers they gave out was like $1.4 million annually to the school district, $600,000 to our fire district that this project can bring in. We as a city, we're not on the list. We don't get any money. But we get, you know, sales tax dollars and things that come. So there will be more information coming out about it, but I just wanted you folks aware there's going to be some hearings in Bellingham, Spokane, Vancouver.
October 27th at Squalicum High School from 2 o'clock until 4:30, and then November 8th at the Ferndale Event Center. That's in the afternoon from 2 until 4:30 or 5. They stay open later. They run it until 5. So the 8th at the Ferndale Event Center, the 27th at Welcome High School. And I didn't mark down the areas of the state. There's one in Party Harbor and...
Party Harbor, Vancouver, and Spokane.
Councilperson Watson?
Question for City Clerk. As I guess a council member could go speak at this because we're not going to be part of the decisional process at all. So right. We could go and basically say whatever we felt like saying.
It's not technically city business, correct?
Okay.
Correct. And you can, the layout is, it's very interesting on the process is you walk into the room, there's information kiosks that if you have questions, people from all the state organizations, not the opponents or the proponent, but from state organizations that you can go up and say, okay, what's the wetland, what's the road, what's this, what's that? You can go over to a table and have a written statement that you sit at a table and write by yourself, or you can go into another part of the room and wait in line and speak publicly in a microphone to someone that's monitoring. And every person that speaks will basically, if they leave their email address, will get a response to what their comment or question was. So kind of an interesting process. It's going to have a lot of state employees there.
Okay.
Councilperson Mutchler?
Yeah, at the last Planning Commission meeting a couple weeks ago, and the mayor was there too, the chairperson of the committee, Susan Cole, wanted me to convey to council her appreciation, and I got nods from the rest of the commission over the police department, police station being built. They were very pleased with that, so they wanted to thank council.
Okay, Councilperson Ingram?
We are very happy tonight because our house is completely back together and operating as normal. Now, that being said, I was chatting with our realtor a couple of days ago. You can probably get ready for a mini boom in real estate in Ferndale. There are 73 high-paying executive-type positions from BP Cherry Point transferring here from California.
They tripled the size of their offices at BP Cherry Point. Mm-hmm. Councilperson Olson?
Could I ask our administrator and budget guru if they can give us some figures on a possible put out for a vote on a 1 cent gasoline tax for next November 5th meeting?
For next November?
Yep. For the next meeting?
The next,
next meeting.
Okay, sure. So you don't have to give that to him now? You bring it? Well, you can.
And now we have it.
Talking about the penny board or gas tax that has to be approved by the voters.
Correct.
Yes. So we'd have to go out to vote.
It would be dedicated, dedicated to street repairs. We don't have anything for street repairs again.
GBD?
Could ask us what GBD? The timeline would be if
I can get you that information.
Okay.
I'll email it.
We'll have it back.
Because there's a cost involved, too. With
I don't know. Any other council reports? Councilperson Hansen?
I don't remember. Anybody remember the date of the Boys and Girls Club breakfast over at the event center?
I think it's the 8th. November. I have November 8th, but I'm not sure.
I think it's that same day.
I think it's the same day.
They were frantic setting
up. I told Molly that I would coordinate the city table. So if anyone on the staff or council is planning to attend that, let me know. We'll make sure that all of you are seated at the city table.
Thank you. Okay, any other council reports? Okay, seeing none. Staff, finance director.
The auditors are scheduling a exit conference. They invite you all via email. I haven't seen that yet. It is scheduled, so appreciate it if some of you would come or one. We have no findings. There are two exit items, fairly minor.
Do you have a date? Because I didn't see the email.
Yeah, I've got to get that date for you.
Okay, that's okay.
They will contact you personally.
They will. They insist.
The 23rd at 3 o'clock.
There you
just
go.
You, though. All the other councils are ignoring it.
They don't trust us to help you.
October 23rd?
Yes. They don't trust us. They got to go.
Auditor.
City administrator.
Nothing.
Planning director. Community
Nothing.
Development
you shall
director.
Make a report.
Really?
Nothing.
Good job.
You shall make a report.
I shall. City clerk.
I do have one thing, Council, just because it was in my contract voted on by a majority of you. I was required within 5 years to become a certified municipal clerk. Last week, I sent in a finalized application to them with 138 hours of FEMA independent study courses that should finalize that. So I did it in about, I'm not good at math, but I'm getting the CMC in like 18 months rather than 5 years. So what I've decided to do, though, is not officially take the certification until after I go to the third professional development course. I kind of did this faster than even PD3. But I'm not going to officially get designated until the summertime so I can save my degree, because now, since I've done this so fast, I would like to go for the master's. So just want to give you an update that I will be accomplishing what you've required of me and trying to go further.
An actual master's from who will...
No, it's a master's municipal clerk designation.
Oh, okay.
So,
it's mail order similar to his existing degree.
So you can do weddings, too?
For the record, Yori Burnett went to Western Washington University, and I went to the premier land-grant research university, University of Idaho.
There's nothing wrong with the University of Phoenix. Don't be ashamed.
Oh, that was funny.
Don't be ashamed.
He's just jealous because he went to Western.
Oh, good. Okay, Janice, try to talk that one.
Let's talk about Main Street, Jim.
You sit up in your ivory tower.
Actually, I do have a question for Janice.
Police department. Counsel, I would accept the motion.
I had a question.
Kathy had a question.
Yeah, she said yes. Oh. No, you're past counsel reports.
No. I have a question about her non-report.
Okay, Councilperson Watts.
Could they do anything on Main on Sunday? I noticed they were working.
They're working about one.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yesterday or today?
Yesterday.
Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday
and
Sunday.
Saturday. I know they were there Saturday.
They got some work done on Sunday, but they had to clear about one.
Okay. Thanks.
Can I ask a question of her also?
You may.
Janice, we've done a lot of studies, seemingly endless traffic studies for a lot of money, and we've never implemented any of them that I know of. One of the things that we discussed several years ago was to help improve traffic flow through the city was putting an end to left turns off westbound Main Street onto Hovander Road. And also stop left turns off Hovander Road onto westbound Main Street. Simply throw a couple of Jersey blocks up there and say no left turns. And we've never done it. And it was everybody's opinion was the same that, oh, that would definitely improve Main Street. Because you get a semi trying to turn left off of Main Street onto that Hovander Road, he's blocking all traffic. He has to. He can't make the turn by staying in the left turn lane. He's right up against the curb. And then he swings the cab in, nobody can get past him. And it's backed, sometimes backed up, depending on eastbound traffic, for a long time.
So I don't know if we, I mean, he may have had this opinion. Other people, we haven't had a traffic engineer study.
I thought Transpo said the same thing.
It's included in our comp plan to make a limited improvement there. There's not really that much we can do to move the railroad. With the bridge.
No, but we can certainly close off the left turn lane.
Yeah, but
can the truck realistically go from Smith in? That road's not all that great, that county portion of it.
See them coming over Smith Road all the time. Most of the drivers that deliver to and take stuff away from Superfeet don't come up to Main Street. That's a disastrous turn for them to try and make.
So can you prepare some information and bring it back to Public Works Committee?
Yeah, bring it to the Public Works Committee and...
okay, motion to adjourn.
Excuse me. It's a long one. You weren't aware of it?
No.
You didn't get the memo.
Pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, we now enter an executive session. The session will last approximately 1 hour and will actually be taken after the session.
Serious?
Somebody's going to talk about
it. This is a big discussion, folks. That's why we kind of cut this agenda. This is a big discussion. Okay, so we're going to have the students come forward and sign away so you can vote. Thank you.
The one time.
Okay, motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor, say by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.